Now, having stepped through gate two and launching out on life as God intended it to be, now we need to be aware of biblical truth and matters that are a part of this walk. This first leads us to the Holy Spirit and the way. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Scripture says, the Lord says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The way is of the God, as of the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit. Walking the way opens the door for the Holy Spirit to be operate in our lives. There's the gates, how the Spirit works in each of the three gates. The Holy Spirit makes it possible to pass through each gate. As far as the Holy Spirit in gate one, the Spirit is who draws us and woos us and leads us to Christ. In John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I'm saying to you, unless someone should be born out of water and Spirit, he is not having power to come in into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is being flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is being spirit." The Spirit in gate 2. The Spirit enables us and empowers us to walk the way of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who brings us the experience of our position in Christ as we live by faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and then verse 25. "And I am saying, walk around in the Spirit, and you should never ever complete an intense feeling of the flesh. If we are living in the Spirit, we also should walk in the Spirit." And then the Spirit in gate 3, which we will look at in the future. This is where we go to be with Christ. The Holy Spirit seals us and is God's down payment, guaranteeing that we will experience our position in Christ if we just keep living by faith. We can see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. There's the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "But be filled with the Spirit." Living by faith opens the way for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Well, this is in our experience. We have the Holy Spirit in our spirit. As we depend upon Christ, the Holy Spirit brings us Christ from our spirit into our soul, and we're able to appropriate Christ and the Spirit into our soul, and then through our soul to flow out through our body, and this way the Holy Spirit fills us. It's like a sponge. You can hold a sponge tightly in your hand and immerse that sponge in your hand in a bucket of water, and the sponge, tightly held in the hand, is submerged in the water. But underwater, as that grip is slowly loosened, the water fills the sponge. We are in Christ, and the more we open up our grip on the old creation, deny its death, and deny it as having died with Christ, and depend upon Christ as new creations, the Holy Spirit fills us more and more. But it's important to know that the Holy Spirit works in our lives and fills us for a purpose. The primary purpose for which the Holy Spirit fills us is so that we will walk the way and then serve the Lord and lead others to the way. And then, again, it's the Holy Spirit who brings us the experience of Christ, and that's the purpose so that we'll continue walking with Him. If we have a car, we never intend to drive it. It's sitting in the garage. There's no use putting gas in the tank. We put gas in a car so that we can drive it. The Holy Spirit, when we're walking on the other side of gate two and we're depending upon Christ and denying self, the Holy Spirit then says, "I need to feel this person. I need to work in this person's life because they're moving. They are walking the way of Jesus Christ." Samson, as long as he was faithful to the Lord and being a judge for and a deliverer of God, the Holy Spirit filled him and gave him great strength. The moment he disqualified himself, the Spirit left him, and he became the same strength of any man. King Saul, Israel's first king, as long as he was functioning in that role, the Spirit of God moved in his life. But when he forfeited that right, the Spirit left him in order to function as king. The Lord himself, surely the Holy Spirit was involved in his life, all of his life. But when he was baptized and stepped forward to begin his public work, which would culminate in his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit descended on him and filled him in a fresh way to give him the experience of God and the power of God that he would need in order to carry out the mission that he had come to do. And then there's the flow of the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, "For I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and streams upon dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon your children, and my blessing upon your offspring." Then there's beautiful imagery which can be applied to the Holy Spirit in Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 3 through 5, when it talks about waters and the one being called to wade out into the waters. And at first they were ankle deep, and then up to the knees, and then the waist, and then finally they were swimming in the water. To me, I picture Bennett Spring here in Missouri, a beautiful, powerful, large spring. And you can step out into it, and the water is strikingly cold, even up to the ankles, and you can feel the strong current, even just that deep into the waters. And that's like stepping out as we walk with Christ and begin to experience our position. We begin to experience the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings that about, and we can immediately tell that it's invigorating, it's powerful, there's movement. You know, and that's when we as old creation will want to shrink back, because we can deny ourselves of old creation as long as we're not experiencing it. The old creation is still pretty comfortable. But when the Holy Spirit begins to give us the experience of our death as an old creation and begin to give us experience of the movement and the power of Christ, we may want to jump back on the bank where we can stay in control. But as we continue to walk with the Lord by faith, we wade out further into the waters, up to our knees, and now we can really feel the current and the coldness of the water, and we can feel our feet being moved and the pebbles beneath them. And then we can keep walking by faith, and we can take that all refreshing and attention-getting step when we drop down over our waist, and we realize just how cold and how powerful that water is. But the Lord beckons us to keep walking with him and experiencing more and more of the Holy Spirit working into our lives, so much so that we take that one step where that one step we drop in over our heads and we're swimming in the current of the river. We're swimming in the current of the Holy Spirit, and we operate and go with his flow. Yes, we can still get out and get to the bank. It's going to take a lot of effort. But now we can still do that. But now we're in the flow of the Spirit. That's experiencing life as a new creation rather than the old creation. And it's operating and wanting to stay right in the heart of that flow of the Spirit. We need to be sure that we don't obstruct the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. We can either dam up the Spirit using the metaphor of the river, or as the fire of the Holy Spirit, we don't need to quench that. My dad worked for REA, and they often had to go out and repair electrical lines from which farmers and depended. And he said more often than not, the problem was some obstruction on the line that was keeping the power from flowing. The obstruction, the way we obstruct and quench the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, is by slipping into the old creation. Our old creation in our experience, and wherever we allow it in our experience, and in any area of the old creation that we hang on to, we are damming up or extinguishing the Holy Spirit operating in our lives to that point. And there's a power of the Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "And may the God of the hope fill you all of all joy and peace in the believing, for the purpose that you have more in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 5. "For our well message became not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." The Holy Spirit, as gives us the experience of our position in Christ, brings us the power of Christ. And we operate under that energy, the power that brought the whole world into existence, the whole universe into existence, flows through us as a new creation. If lightning strikes a house, it can destroy a house. That's like trying to ask the Holy Spirit to come on the old creation. It will destroy the old creation. The old creation cannot live in the power, trying to be connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. We take a house that's been wired for electricity, then bring electricity in. You can enjoy all the benefits that electricity provides. The new creation is we as new creations are the ones who have been wired to receive the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Stories told of an old mountaineer who very seldom came down to civilization. He came down one time and he asked a little store owner, said, "Do you have anything to help me chop wood?" So the store owner sold him a chainsaw. The man went back in the woods and came back a couple weeks later and said, "I tell you what, the way you sold me not only doesn't help, it makes it a lot harder." And the store owner said, "Let's go out back and see if there's a problem." They went out back and the store owner pulled the cord and whoom, the chainsaw started up and the man from the mountain jumped back and said, "What's that noise?" We have available to us, if we will live by faith as new creations, the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. If we insist on living as an old creation, we forfeit that power, and it's much, much, much worse than trying to cut wood with a chainsaw that's not running if we try to live our lives in our own strength. Last area that we'll look at with the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and so on, "And there are being dividings of gifts of grace, but the same Spirit." And there's different lists that are given as examples of these gifts. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4 gives some examples of these gifts of the Spirit. This is simply, as we depend upon Christ, there's areas of Christ that the Holy Spirit gives us a special gift of grace to experience Christ in those areas. And then, as we all gather together and we walk the way together, the different areas that the Holy Spirit is gracing to, as far as our experience of Christ, then we experience as a group more of Christ totally as the body of Christ, and we help build up one another with those gifts. And part of the way that we do that is that we model those gifts from one another. It's not that if we have a gift of God, of an experience of a part of Christ, that we're free from worrying about the rest of Christ and being like him in the rest of the areas. No, that's not it. We're giving a special gift of grace to model how Christ is in that area so that others can see, oh, that's what Christ is like in that area. That's what Christ is like as far as being merciful. That's what Christ is like as far as being of teaching. This is what Christ is like as faith, and so on. And then they depend upon Christ in order to experience for their own, in their own way, Christ in those areas. So then, as we operate and look in one another, we can get a full view of what it means to experience Christ in our own lives. We so often need a role model, and in these areas of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us special anointings, gifts of areas of the experience of Christ, so that we can live them out and we can be used by the Holy Spirit in these areas, but we also show others how that is played out and how they then, as they rely upon the Lord and allow the Spirit to work in their life, that they too can experience Christ in those areas as well.